It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. Right now, it's June, and many of us are feeling the energy of a new season, extra sunshine, more time outdoors, and the end of stay-at-home orders. Even more exciting, the end of the school year for parents schooling kids at home. Hooray! I know we're celebrating over here. But others may be feeling, well, tired. Over the past couple of weeks, a number of media outlets, including the Washington Post, have reported a new health risk for people who recover from COVID-19, and that's post-viral fatigue syndrome. Up to 2.5 million people in the U.S. live with chronic fatigue syndrome. An estimated 3/4 of these cases are triggered by a viral or bacterial infection. Post-viral fatigue syndrome can happen after any type of viral illness. I myself experienced it after the flu last year, and now I know how fortunate I was to make a full and relatively speedy recovery, as we'll talk about in the episode. My guest today is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, an expert on curing fatigue. Jacob Teitelbaum is one of the most frequently quoted integrative medical authorities in the world. He's the author of the best-selling From Fatigued to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, and The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, Real Cause, Real Cure, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, Diabetes is Optional, and the popular free app Cures A to Z. He's the lead author of 4 studies on effective treatment for fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, and a study on effective treatment of autism. Dr. Teitelbaum appears often as a guest on news and talk shows nationwide, including Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, Oprah and Friends, and CNN. And I've been fortunate enough to interview him several times for articles in various publications. And I'm very excited to talk to him today. So let's get him on the line. Hello, Dr. Teitelbaum. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Malia, awesome to be with you and awesome to be with your family here on the show today. And, you know, sleep is such a critical area that's neglected in our understanding. So for those of you out there having trouble sleeping, we're going to teach you how to take care of that and why it is so important and a bunch of things that I bet you're not going to know.
Yes, thank you. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing you for many articles over the years, and your insight is just always so helpful for people struggling with sleep, whether it's with their children or their own sleep. And you and I connected for an article recently about sleep, and we began discussing this topic, which is post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. And right away, I knew I wanted to have you on the podcast to talk about this because of my own experience with the post-viral chronic fatigue episode last year after experience with influenza. I was hit with a post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome, and it was tough to get a diagnosis. And that's, you know, as a health journalist, my health literacy is high. I tend to be pretty involved and aware of my symptoms. And it was hard for me to get a diagnosis and to figure out what was going on. And so I can completely imagine why it would be difficult for anyone experiencing post-viral chronic fatigue. And it's something that is particularly important right now, and as people are dealing with the after effects and the ongoing effects of COVID-19. So that is what we will be talking about today. But first, Dr. Teitelbaum, you have a specific expertise in fatigue and chronic fatigue syndrome. Can you talk about what post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome is? What is thought to cause it? Who is affected? And what are the symptoms?
Absolutely. We both share a similar experience. When I was in medical school, I came down with what I call the drop-dead flu, and it triggered post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. I actually had a drop out of medical school, and it left me homeless, sleeping in parks for a year. So this can be pretty devastating. And what happens is that for those of you listening, If you have not just severe insomnia, but the paradox of can't sleep despite being exhausted, you probably have fibromyalgia, especially if you have brain fog and widespread pain. And only 15% of people know that they have the fibromyalgia. The doctors just say, I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy. So what happens in this illness, it's an energy crisis, where basically for the post-viral fatigue, it trips a circuit breaker. Like in your home, if you overload a circuit, it trips off that circuit breaker. The circuit breaker that goes off in this disease is called the hypothalamus. It's a small almond-sized area in the brain. It controls sleep, which is why you can't sleep even though you're exhausted. It controls temperature regulation, your hormone system, and what's called autonomic system, you know, blood pressure, pulse, sweating, those gut function, those kind of things. So that's all on that circuit. So when you have the symptoms, tired, achy, brain fog, can't sleep, for any number of reasons that can trigger the circuit breaker, including the viral syndromes, you've got this process. And the good news is that our research shows that it's very, very treatable.
And so when someone is experiencing a post-viral fatigue syndrome, at least my experience was I had a particularly bad case of the flu, and I thought I was getting better. I was feeling better. I was coming out. It was probably the second week. And then just seemingly out of the blue, I was just hit with this debilitating fatigue where I felt like I just couldn't get off the couch. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter what I did. And it was just crushing. It felt like I'd been hit by a truck. And that's after coming out of a virus that was no picnic, but the fatigue syndrome was actually worse. Is that typical, where somebody will get a virus, feel like they're on the upswing, and then just all of a sudden get completely blindsided with fatigue?
It's one of many patterns. In many people, they have it, they just never recover from the thing, and then there's normal ups and downs. Other people, the virus starts to go, but then the effects of flipping the circuit breaker kick in, the difficulty with sleep, the difficulty with energy production because it suppresses adrenal, thyroid, and other functions. So you'll get almost a delayed reaction, kind of a two phases like you had. So you can see it in any way, but the hallmark is that can't sleep even though you're exhausted. That tells you, and that it doesn't go away with rest or over 2 months. That tells you that this is going on.
Okay. And the other part of my question was, are there certain people who seem to be more susceptible to coming down with a fatigue syndrome after a virus?
Yes. To extend the analogy of blowing a fuse, so say you have four space heaters plugged in on a cold Seattle night, and the circuit breaker is still handling. And then you put one more in, and boom, off goes the circuit breaker. So if you have a life or had a childhood that was incredibly stressful, then you're more prone to having this added stress trip the circuit breaker. Now, the stress can be situational, but it could also be having hormonal problems like low thyroid or low adrenal. It could be having underlying candida overgrowth. The body doesn't distinguish between psychological and physical stresses. It's just all stresses. So if you have a background of a lot of stress going on, you're more prone to getting pushed over the edge and tripping a circuit breaker with a virus.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And speaking of stress, that does bring us to our current situation. We're coming out of the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's been extraordinarily stressful for the entire world. And people are experiencing effects of post-viral syndrome after COVID-19. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you'll see that the SARS virus, which was a close virus to the COVID that happened a couple of years ago, almost 30% of people who had the virus came down with post-viral fatigue. And we're starting to see now that people are having that for 2-3 months after getting the virus. They're still wiped out. So the probability is that we're going to see a lot of post-viral fatigue. And one of the things aggravating that is that our news media, when I was a kid, the Madison Avenue advertising mantra was sex sells. You wanted to sell something, you had handsome guys, pretty women, and the advertising. The current media mantra seems to be fear and divisiveness sells. So they've been really pushing on the fear buttons, and unnecessarily increasing the stress. What would be healthy is if they taught people caution. This is a concern, and here's what you need to do to minimize the concerns. And we can do that today if we'd like to go how you can thrive through the COVID virus. But I'd like to give the listeners a little bit of perspective. You know, the media is making this sound like this is the plague. No, it's not the plague. In Europe, the plague killed 1 out of 2 people. COVID is estimated that it will kill 1 out of 2,000 people. Not the same thing. And to put that in perspective further, 1 in 100 people die every year, year in, year out. That's just natural and normal. So that 1 in 2,000 versus 1 in 100, is, of course, is important, but it's not something to be massively afraid of. It's something to take simple precautions. Because if you take a look at this virus, if I have a room full of people and throw a bunch of people with the virus into the room, 1/3 of people will catch it. 2/3 won't, even though they're closely exposed. Of the third that catch it, as many as half of those will have no symptoms or minimal symptoms. So there's simple measures you can do, including sleep, good sleep, to optimize your immunity. So you're in that 80 to 85% of people who never have a problem with it. So the background of all this fear-based, making everybody panicked, combined with then the stress of the virus, increases the risk of seeing post-viral fatigue. But regardless, it's very treatable.
Right. Thank you. And I do definitely want to come back to those simple ways that we can optimize our immunity and keep ourselves healthier during this pandemic. First, I did want to ask you that you mentioned that chronic fatigue syndrome is underdiagnosed. I know that was my experience, was it was difficult to get a diagnosis. Why do you think that is? Even years later, years after your experience with chronic fatigue syndrome, why are many physicians still unaware of this problem, and why is it so difficult for some people to get a diagnosis?
Well, 85% of people who have this disease have not yet gotten the correct diagnosis. It's because it tends to be very complex. It's a relatively new condition that hits multiple systems in the body, and there's no specific test to make the diagnosis. You have to use your mind and listen to the person. So because of that, most doctors have this bad habit of, if they don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy. And this takes my new patient visits. I treat people from all over the world. It can be done by phone. It takes 3 hours of my one-on-one time. This is a very complex condition. Most doctors have 6 minutes on average for their doctor visit. They just don't have the time to do it. So what they have the time, they hear 5 symptoms. By the time they hear the 6th one, it doesn't all connect in their mind. They don't have the time to learn about this illness because it is so complex that they then just pull out the prescription pad and write you for Prozac and presume and imply to you that you're crazy.
Right, right. Yes. And so let's say someone is able to navigate that and they do obtain a diagnosis. What are some promising treatments or some ways that they can start to address this so that they can sort of tip the scales in favor of recovery, because recovery can be a long process?
Well, there's so much that can be done here. And the trick is tailoring. There are literally hundreds of effective treatments, and you need to tailor them to each individual because each case is different. It's a different mix of things causing the energy crisis or trip to circuit breaker. But a simple way to frame it is I use an acronym that we call SHINE. And we studied our SHINE protocol. It's funny, I used to call it the SHIN protocol. And then when I was on the Dr. Oz show, he said, "Well, look, you know, Jacob, you're a very bright fellow, but how do I know this is not all BS?" And he sent me somebody who's a lieutenant in the military, and she had fibromyalgia. He said, "Get her better." And I said, "Okay." A month later, she was better. And then he said, "Okay, now you can come on." But she was the one who said that I had to add the E for exercise, which is a small component, but important. And she turned the SHIN protocol into SHINE. And SHINE stands for sleep. Optimizing sleep is the critical point of getting people well with this disease, because the sleep center is not working. They need a lot of sleep help. H is hormonal support. I would be infections. N is nutritional support. And E is exercise as able. You try to push it, they're going to be laid out in bed for 3 days if you push too much. So simple walking, if you can even do that, you know, everybody's different. A randomized published double-blind placebo-controlled study showed an average 91% improvement in quality of life using this protocol. And since that study, it's funny, we just finished the study. We got the data back last week of a treatment called recovery factors, that single nutritional support treatment resulted in an average overall, well, 60% of people improved, and they had an average 69% increase in quality of life. So for a single treatment, we've studied ribose, which showed an average 61% energy increase. So there's so many things that can be done. And this is just very, very, very treatable. The problem is not lack of effective treatment. And like I said, I had this myself, and if people saw my schedule, it would make their heads spin. But, you know, just knowing if there's my website, vitality101.com, and my books, From Fatigue to Fantastic, and The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, really give a lot of information, but you can get the information for free on the website. It'll really walk people through step by step how to recover from this illness.
Thank you. And then let's talk more broadly then about other ways, you know, simple ways that people can support their health and support their immune system to thrive during this time.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things that's important to realize. One, zinc is poison to the COVID virus. It will kill the virus on contact, even at concentrations, say if you have a zinc lozenge that's in your mouth when you're out and about. Just that level will tend to kill most of the virus. Two, once it gets into your cells, the zinc acts almost like spay and neuter, it's like birth control pills for the virus, and it keeps them from replicating. So optimizing zinc levels, and what I recommend for people is to take 40 to 50 milligrams of zinc a day for a month, just to get their levels way up, and then to take 15 milligrams a day. Vitamin D, study after study after study, is showing that people who have higher vitamin D levels have much better outcomes with the virus. And this was actually a very nice review by a Harvard professor who looked at this. Vitamin C, 500 milligrams a day to help maintain it. And then there's other nutrients, selenium, N-acetylcysteine, a host of other things. There's a simple vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System, where one drink a day will supply all of this as in terms of the baseline for really optimizing nutrition and immunity. But I will have people add 20 to 40 milligrams of zinc to that for the first month, just because the zinc is so important. And if they do get viral symptoms, I have them go back to the 50 milligrams a day, 40 to 50 milligrams a day of the zinc, Z-I-N-C.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Those are good tips to have in our back pockets as people begin to go out and about and states begin to open up this spring and summer. Are there other supplements that you recommend or complementary therapies outside of the traditional medical system?
You need to understand that it was a shock to me as a physician to realize that virtually all of my continuing medical education was, how did the New England Journal editor put it? He said that most medical education these days, or continuing education, is slick advertising masquerading as science. And the pharmaceutical industry is the third largest advertiser with the news media. And they're one of the major players in terms of Congress, in terms of, you know, the Congress passed a bill making it illegal to negotiate prices. I mean, it's that problematic. So in medicine, we have a very strong bias towards things that are pharmaceutical, but only if they're very expensive. We are really taught, and again, you know, it's really slickly done. It's on the conferences that are all paid for by the drug companies, with professors who are all paid for by the drug companies giving very interesting looking data on the screen, which sometimes is valid, but when you tear it apart, often is, it's funny, many of these, well, anyway. But it's important to realize most of what you will hear about, most of what doctors will hear about, is what is the most expensive, profitable medication. They will not hear about natural remedies. In fact, we are taught that anything natural is crackery that you have to protect the public from. And anything that's low cost even in pharmaceuticals, it can't get approved by the FDA generally for new uses. Financially, it can't be done. So many natural things. Melatonin, for example. I personally take 5 milligrams of melatonin every night because optimizing sleep is critical for optimizing immunity. One of the most powerful ways to sleep, to immune suppress an animal, is to sleep deprive it. And to put things in perspective, in the United States, until light bulbs were invented, the average night's sleep was 9 hours a night. So compare that to what you're getting. Wow. And so melatonin, and I like to use 5 milligrams. I find generally what works best for most people, Nature's Bounty, you can get, has a what's called dual spectrum 5 milligram melatonin. They have a bunch of different ones, but that's the one that seems to work best because there's a mixed immediate and sustained release. You can get on Amazon or Walgreens.
That's my favorite one too. That's in my medicine cabinet right now. And I think it's $6. It's so inexpensive.
Yeah, these are all cheap. You know, you can get them for $6 a bottle on Amazon. Some sellers will be $30. But the melatonin not just improves sleep and improves immunity, it helps with anxiety. It helps, many people have trouble sleeping because of nighttime acid reflux. It helps that. And it also has very strong antioxidant properties, which can help during the virus as well. So for sleep, the melatonin, there's an herbal mix called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula, which is a mix of 6 different herbs. There's terrific ZZZZ, which is a mix of 4 essential oils. And then there's hemp oil. I'm very picky about hemp oils. The one I use is called Hemp Select. And that can be, and all 4 of these can be very, very helpful for sleep. They can be mixed and matched. In fibromyalgia, though, post-viral fatigue, the sleep problem is so severe that you do need usually to add very tiny dosing of several different medications to find a mix that leave people sleeping 8 hours a night without hangover. And those of you listening who have fibromyalgia are going to think that's impossible. I can't sleep that long. And I'll tell you, having treated thousands of people successfully with this, the vast, vast majority of people can get their solid sleep each night.
Thank you. And, you know, we've talked about full recovery and that recovery is possible from chronic fatigue syndrome. But what about those people or the people you mentioned who may be listening with fibromyalgia who are living with a chronic condition? Would your advice differ for them in any way, or are there therapies or supplements that can help with energy or help with the management of this as a chronic, long-term, ongoing condition? Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. So if you look at the fibromyalgia, let's go back to SHINE. It's a nice, easy way to remember it. We've talked about the sleep. And again, there's on my website at vitality101.com on step 3, how to get well, there's actually, I hold a US patent for computerized physician. And it will basically take you through, it's a free 15-minute quiz. It'll analyze your symptoms. It will, if you have blood tests, you don't have to have the lab tests, but if you have those, it'll analyze the pertinent lab tests. And it'll tell you what exactly is contributing to your energy crisis and go find the individual things in your case and tailor a protocol to optimize your energy. We used to charge $400 for that, but we told people that they could do it for free if they didn't have money. And 80% of people came back with fibromyalgia saying they were impoverished from the disease. So my wife and I decided to make the program free for anybody who wants to do it. So that's a nice, easy way to do it. And again, I treat people worldwide, but you know, the sleep hormones, if you have tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant, you deserve a trial of thyroid hormone, regardless of what your blood tests show. If you get hangry, this is irritable when hungry. Also, you know, low blood pressure, get frequent infections that take forever to go away, irritability. And that suggests adrenal fatigue. There's a nice simple thing, you know, increase salt, increase water, decrease sugar. And there's a simple product called Adrenaplex, which is awesome and will smooth that right out. Infections and then hypotension. Many of you with fibromyalgia will have orthostatic intolerance or POTS. Very simple to diagnose. You know, if you find you tend to get lightheaded when you stand, or you get brain foggy and can do poorly standing up for extended periods, there's a simple quiz. You can email me on my website and ask for the orthostatic intolerance quiz. That'll tell you in 1 minute if you have it. And then nutrition and infections, candida is a key one. If you have nasal congestion or irritable bowel syndrome and fibromyalgia, you need to be treated for candida. There's no test that you're liable for it. Just treat it. And nutritional support. There's a couple amazing treatments, two new ones that just came out. I have people take the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder I mentioned, because that replaces 50 pills in one drink and it's low cost. I have people take ribose, because and it needs to be the bioenergy. I like the Shine ribose. But there's a new product called Smart Energy System that includes ribose and five other things that will be out at the end of June. But the main thing, the study we just finished that I mentioned, there's a product called Recovery Factors, and RECOVERY, F like Frank, HCTORS, and you can go to recoveryfactors.com. It'll be available in the US about June 5th or 6th. We've worked hard to get it available in the United States, but that showed, again, an average in the 60% of people who improved on it, an average 69% increase in quality of life. That's dramatic for a single nutrient. So there's so much that you can do, starting with simple things. I have people start with right now I would start with the Revitalizing Sleep Formula or something for sleep, the Energy Revitalization System and the Recovery Factors and the Shine Ribose. You know, do those four for a month, or even just the last three for a month. Most of you will already start to see a really large pickup in how you feel overall. And then you can step by step go after the sleep, the hormones, infections, optimizing nutrition further. And then as energy increases, you'll be able to condition with a walking program for the E. Just starting really slowly as is comfortable and working your way up. But usually 8 to 10 weeks on treating the biochemistry of the disease will allow you to condition without crashing.
All right. Well, thank you. That is so helpful. And that is a lot of information. But you mentioned that this protocol is listed out step by step at your website. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is all at vitality101.com, except for the recovery factors information. That's so new, it's not up there yet. But the website for that is recoveryfactors.com.
Well, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about immune health, about recovery, or staying well and thriving in the midst of this pandemic?
Yes. First of all, get rid of the excessive unnecessary stress in your life. And for many of you, that is going to mean turning off the, you can call them news networks, but they're really fictions. I'm on the news regularly. I'm on the national news. They like me. And if they quote me correctly 20% of the time, that's a lot. Most of the information there currently about COVID is meant to scare people to death. You know, just turn this stuff off. Use common sense, you know, use your masks, you know, and if you're in a closed room with other people that you don't know, you know, not with your family, but if you're out and about, you know, be careful in terms of touching things that everybody else touches. But then this is not a reason for panic. It really isn't. You know, most people are going to do fine with this. You're going to do fine with it. Just common sense. So turn off this news media stuff that's meant to leave you scared to death. It's really unhealthy for you. And beyond that, you know, enjoy the time out as best you can. So just know that this is not a reason for fear, just a reason for common sense and caution. And that can be easy to do.
Thank you. And just wanted to go back to the signs that someone should maybe consider seeking out medical help for post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. What are just the signs or symptoms that someone should begin to investigate whether they do have this? Beyond just having a virus and recovering, they're not going to feel well anyway. But just wanted to make sure that people know when to start looking for help, when to begin considering whether post-viral chronic fatigue is playing a role and what they can do at that point.
Okay, step one, figuring out if you should go get tested. If you find that your taste and your smell start to go back and go down, so you have trouble smelling and tasting, again, that is a sign of massive zinc deficiency. Zinc deficiency, you look up the symptoms, it's loss of taste and smell. And that means that the virus is causing you to lose zinc and leaving you very vulnerable to the virus. So if you have that, immediately load up on 50 milligrams of zinc a day and go into one of the drive-through test centers to get tested. If you're having sore throat, achiness, flu-like symptoms, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea, cough, shortness of breath, go in and get tested, because better to know. Now, the question, and again, with any of those, I would start up with the zinc, the vitamin C, and the vitamin D. Those three are just critical for a good outcome. Beyond that, if you're finding, it's funny, the disease causes the oxygen level in the blood to drop very low when it gets severe, but it doesn't usually cause shortness of breath. It's kind of an odd thing, and they have these little finger pulse oximeters that you can tell, so you can distinguish between anxiety from watching the news reports and shortness of breath from the virus. But the main thing is, if you're getting short of breath with exertion, you're walking to the bathroom and that makes you short of breath, it's time to go into the doctor or go into the emergency room. And again, you're not looking for subtle over here. So you don't have to wonder, I wonder if I'm a little short of breath here. No, but if you're, you know, struggling with shortness of breath to make it from your bed to the bathroom, you go to the ER.
Okay, thank you. And is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
These are the key things. Just know, again, it's really easy to do really fine during this period with the COVID. COVID is not the plague. It's just one more bug. The reason for the lockdown was not because it was going to save lives so much. It was to allow the healthcare system to get up to speed. It's done so. Our healthcare system is not being overwhelmed. So now as you go out of lockdown, you know, just relax with it. Use common sense. And know that if you do have persistent if it's lasting more than 8 to 10 weeks of fatigue, insomnia, and other symptoms post-virus, it's time to consider post-viral fatigue. My website will tell you what you need to do to get a handle on it and to make it go away. And if you have fibromyalgia, this is so treatable. Fibromyalgia can be effectively treated, very effectively treated. The problem is just lack of physician education, not lack of effective treatment.
Well, thank you so much for those notes of hope. I really appreciate it. And once again, where can people find you and find out more about you?
The website vitality101.com has a lot of information and the free quiz. The website fatigue.com will have a number of the products that I've talked about, but these are readily available most anywhere. Recoveryfactors.com will have the one we just did the new study on, and that's only available there. That will be available, like say, on March 6th. I think it's going to be available on the website beginning then. My book, From Fatigue to Fantastic, is best-selling book of all time on fibromyalgia. And for anybody interested in appointments, appointments with an S at the end at endfatigue, fatigue.com. And if you have questions about fibromyalgia, my personal email is fatiguedoc@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Teitelbaum, and thank you for sharing your expertise with our listeners. I think that this will be very helpful.
Malia, always a pleasure. And again, these things are very treatable. You don't have to be sick. You can get your life back.
Thank you. That is great to hear. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much for listening. And if this episode is helpful to you, I'm very glad. If this episode could be helpful to someone that you know, please consider sharing it with them. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider rating and reviewing it. Rating and reviewing podcasts is so important. It greatly helps the podcast that you enjoy continue producing great content for you. You can find this podcast on social media at Sleep Well, Stay Well, and you can reach me at Malia@sleepwellstaywell.com. I will see you next week. Until then, please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.